to the first of my blogcasts. Here I am back from my summer break, having enjoyed a staycation cruise and an extended visit from my son. Of course, the weather has been somewhat mixed over the season, but I suppose we can expect nothing more as far as the British summers are concerned. I'm all set to resume my jewellery making, and at the time of writing this blog have been concentrating on pieces made from gold vermé, a technique that was founded in France in the 18th century. It's a type of high-quality plating where sterling silver is coated in a layer of gold, often between 14 and 22 carat, and which must be no less than 2.5 microns in thickness. Unlike cheaper options, where a thin layer of gold is plated onto a base metal, usually brass, items manufactured from gold vermé can be hallmarked but only as 925 sterling silver, at least in the UK, provided the required thickness of gold has been achieved. Surprisingly, some well-known crown jewels have elements of gold vermé as part of their construction, and it's frequently used in contemporary jewellery as it's cheaper than gold but looks just as good. Does gold vermé tarnish? Well, the items will dull over time, but they can be buffed up with a gold polishing cloth and should be treated with respect, as with all items of jewellery. As gold vermé cannot be soldered, it throws up challenging ways to connect and link pieces of metal together. Great fun! I've mentioned hallmarking gold vermé. I thought I'd also provide some information on the very subject of hallmarks, which I've touched on in the past in previous blogs. Any jewellery made in precious metals in the UK will require hallmarking under the 1973 Hallmarking Act if their weight exceeds the exemption level. For sterling silver, this is 7.78 grams, for gold it's 1 gram, and for platinum and palladium it's 0.5 grams. There used to be more assay offices in the UK, but they've now been reduced to 4. London, Edinburgh, Sheffield and Birmingham, each with their own symbol that can be seen in the hallmark itself. London is represented by a lion, Edinburgh by a castle, Sheffield by a rose and Birmingham an anchor. A hallmark comprises of the sponsor's mark, in my case my initials GVL, the assay office mark, the metal identification, 925 for silver, 375 for gold, etc., and the year of hallmarking. This year, 2021, is represented by a W. If a jeweller has added a base metal to the piece, such as copper, then an additional mark appears near the hallmark, indicating a plus sign and the word metal. Let's move on to the history of hallmarking. The statute of hallmarking first comes to light in 1238, although unlike today and the Hallmarking Act, there were no controls over workers in precious metals, nor were there any official marks as such. What we know as sponsors' marks were used by some of those working with precious metals, although at the end of the 13th century, a sort of marking system was introduced, partly to stop the export of silver from England. The first mark was a leopard's head and struck on silver coins, the standard currency for the time. Both gold and silver received the same mark throughout the country and not just in London. However, the leopard's head could be easily forged and was being struck on substandard materials by unscrupulous goldsmiths. So a statute was passed in 1363, which meant that every goldsmith had to have a mark of his own to identify his work. This system remained in place until 1478, when a further mark was added, which we know today as the date letter, again introduced because of shameless practices by those who tested and marked the metals. All testers and markers had to work out of Goldsmiths' Hall, and all goldsmiths had to take their wares to the hall to have it marked, hence hallmarking. The leopard was also given a crown. There were various other changes to the established marking system, which resulted in the Britannia silver to protect the coinage from being melted down, and the standard for silver was raised from 92.5% to 95.84% as the minimum silver content, but the silver coinage standard remained at 92.5%. Gold marking was introduced with the arrival of the 18-carat gold standard in 1798. Bringing this history up to date, the Hallmarking Act 1973 introduced platinum into the hallmarking fold with a mark of an orb and a cross inside a pentagon. If you buy any jewellery in the UK that purports to be constructed of any precious metal, please check for its hallmark. You may need a magnifier to see it properly. Not all countries have the same stringent regulatory requirements that we have here in the UK, so if you want to buy a piece of jewellery elsewhere, please buy from a reputable jeweller. Now that I've braved my first recording of a blog, I thought it might be fun to go back and record some of my earlier blogs. I won't be recording them all verbatim, but mainly focusing on the different topics that have been covered in each. You'll still be able to read both past and future blogs on my website, but I'll add a link to the blogcast and also a link on both my Victoria Jewellery Facebook and Instagram pages. So I'm going to sign off now and get myself a well-earned cup of tea. I'll be back at the end of October, early December, with another blog. Meantime, take care.